Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Then, hello and welcome to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast, where we bring you a special edition today. First and foremost, we're all together, which is a rarity, but we've got a special guest today. Now, we teased this and mentioned it on last week's episode, but we're joined by Guillaume Balague, Spanish football expert, or certainly that's how most people will know Guillaume. Yeah, we've got plenty of stuff to chat about, so Guillaume, welcome to the podcast, and hello.
Hello, you are big and strong, like the name. That's very impressive.
Well, we say it's somewhat ironic, the name, the Big Strong Leicester Boys, so don't read too much.
Well, where's the irony then? You are big and strong, so what's the joke?
There's no irony.
Yeah, I mean, just in the rare occasion, say for instance, I say rare occasion, if there was a fight, you wouldn't want probably any of us.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
It might be big,
I'll have that
but
in
it's somewhat
mind.
Deceiving.
Yeah.
But look, Guillaume, thank you for your time and thank you for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure.
And we've got lots to talk about, particularly around Enzo. But I think first and foremost, I think that the thing that probably intrigues us all is you in Leicestershire. Tell us the story.
Well, how did it start? I've spent a lot of time in Spain in the last 3-4 years. Most of my time has been in Spain since pre-COVID. I decided to take my family back to Spain. But I'm not that keen on the Spanish media and how it works. And I don't think I fit it in. So then I looked back into England. I thought, my audience is there. So I started coming to England more often. And when you've been traveling for, I don't know, since the early 90s, I'm fed up with hotels. I'm fed up with having to, you know, be in a room and have conversations with in bars with people that you're never going to meet again and that kind of thing. So I kind of rekindle a relationship, a friendship I had with somebody who's in Croft, who's there, Neil, and then the offer came that we've got an empty room, or one room we don't use. So I've just moved all my stuff there. That's my English English base now. Problem is, I don't know if you follow me on socials, but I use a different shirt every day of the year. And I've done for 10 years, and I don't throw the shirts away. So there's a lot of clothes around. I've got lots of clothes. So what it was a really useful kind of space, now it's kind of like, I may need to take over another room. they don't know that yet. but yeah, and then all of a sudden you've got Unai Emery, at Aston Villa, Paco Ayestarán, assistant of Rafa Benitez at Liverpool, who is assistant of Unai Emery as well, Birmingham. You've got Carlos Corberán at West Brom. You had, Lopetegui for a while and still lives in Wolverhampton. You've got, you know, a lot of big brains, friends, really, that are doing really well. So has become, you know, the center of the football world from a Spanish perspective, if you like.
Mm. And so, just then on Leicestershire, I know obviously you said your friends here, but is it your favourite part of England? Because you could live in London, you know, that'd be nice and easy.
No. I first came to England in 21st of November 91. Sounds like a prison sentence. It isn't. it's just that I remember, for whatever reason, that day. I went to Liverpool. I lived there for 10 years. And then I moved to London for a year and a half. I cannot stand the place. Takes everything from you, takes energy, money. Takes time, takes money, takes everything. So, not a place to live, I don't think. I've got so many Spanish friends, and all the managers, that coaches that we're talking about, they end up going to London for a day or two, and they love it. Just I try to live there. Not easy. It's a tough city. So then I moved into the countryside in England. I went to Bedfordshire, Hitchin, and yeah, around here, what you've got is really good communication. You can get in and out of the place very far. I feel a little bit anxious because I've just learned that this is the furthest place away from the sea. And I love the sea because I'm from Barcelona, so all you can see, one side is the mountains, the other one is the sea. Anyway, I'll survive. But the people. This is the head coach, this pub. Is the local, the only one that there is in Croft, where I live now, half of the time, the other half is in Barcelona. And I tell you what, they've been so welcoming. We had an event on the 2nd of August to raise money for Biggleswell United, the club I'm the chairman of, and it was going to be an hour and a half and a bit of noise. I asked Enzo to come in. And then he messaged just an hour before. It's like, if I drive, I will have an accident. I'm so tired. I said, well, stay there, no worries. So I think he sent over an audio file or something.
Two coaches.
And he sent two coaches. So two coaches came in, one of the assistant, Spanish assistant, and the goalkeeper coach. And they came on the stage, ended up being a three-hour show, and for 90 people, we put 90 people here. And we raised £4,000 for Biggleswell United. So it was absolutely brilliant, and you sense that people are here to help. I've been told there is a raffle going on every Friday at the Head Coach. So, you know, if you're around, just come in, get your tickets. Can't remember what they get for it, but anyway, it's you know, and it's to raise money for things as well, for things that happen within the village. It is a village, isn't it? It is a village, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll talk about Biggleswell a little bit more depth shortly. And you often mention Enzo, and you've got an event coming up at the Chutney Ivy. It's great, great curry house.
Yeah.
But, Jordan, you know, yeah, kind of briefly, loosely from your time at Sky.
Yeah.
That era when you were the Spanish football expert at Sky, I mean, they were peak years, weren't they?
Yeah, I don't know if Guillaume remembers. I was a bit anxious whether he'd remember. But
I do, of course I do.
He said earlier, before we started, that it was 8 years ago. So I'd have been a little nipper back then, mid-20s.
No, 8 years is when I left.
Is that when you left? Yeah, but...
So you would have been 10 years.
Yeah, well, there you go, a decade ago. So I feel like it's come full circle now. So we've gone from London, and now Guillaume's back in Leicestershire, where, you know, very proud that I'm from here. And he's got an Everard Tiger, so
he's, yeah, a tiger.
He's really fitting in.
That's so, right.
Yeah, we did the La Liga preview every Tuesday, I think it was, in the Sky Caf. Yeah, and that seems a lifetime ago. So when we got Enzo, I didn't realise actually that you were close friends. So that was like a familiar face when Enzo came. It was quite pleasing.
Yeah, Enzo, like other coaches that throughout my career, I did always the same thing. If I sense there is something there, that the person is a good person, good coach, and is going to places, the best time to talk to them is when it all starts. And I did that with so many. And I love that moment where they sell you almost themselves. It's like, you know, this is what I can do, and da da da, and yeah, okay, I'm assistant here, and Palmer, and whatever, but da 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 da. And with him, we just clicked. I think the first conversation we had, it was in COVID time, where I've got a podcast called The Pew Football, which is now how do you call a podcast that you don't do? It's in suspension. In practice. No, because it will come back. Oh, it's dormant. Yeah. A podcast that's dormant. But in COVID time, of course, like we all did, I thought that's a good chance to sit down with people that I like and see what comes out of it. With Enzo, I think we spoke for like an hour and a half, and we connected, and he was in Sevilla at the time, so it must have been post-Palm, I think. And anyway, when he came to Manchester City again, we met and would have a coffee or whatever. And it's the kind of relationship that has become a real good friendship, in that he would, you know, he would meet for a coffee, and he has his worries and I have mine, but he wants to know mine. That's not common. That's not that common. It's like some, I won't tell you who, but it's like, hi, and that's probably the last thing you say in 2 hours. But I understand it, because, you know, we're part of the world is big, and they're at the center of it, they are at the eye of the hurricane, and sometimes they, if they trust the person, they have the ability to just talk and talk, and you let them talk, and the secret of a good, long journalistic career, if you like, or writer's career, is to tell 2% of what you know, and that's what happens. But then, so we kept talking, and I remember asking him, in the summer, I said, can I ask you for a favor? He says, no, you can ask me for two. Okay, I only need one for now, I'll keep the other one for the future. And I said, how about, I'm thinking of raising money for Beaglesham United. How about if we sit down, you and me, and do something, and then invite people over to join us? It's like, not a problem, just tell me the date. And then he doesn't know this, but I look at the calendar. This, I decided the date about a month ago. I thought, yeah, they win the league in this month, in this week, and we do the event 4 days later. So that's my hope. But anyway, you head in there, and yeah. So we've decided that Chutney Ivy, which for me, honestly, is the best Indian restaurant I've ever been.
Wow. No, we've done a live show there.
We did
a live show all there together.
Right.
So we've had it. It's very, very good.
It is very good, and he's, you know, Shaf, the owner there, said you can have the place for you. It's for you. So we're going to put 10 tables for 8-9 people, 60 tickets, that's all. It's going to be a VIP event where Enzo and I will sit in different tables. He may invite some coaches. There'll be things to sign, auction. And yeah, I'm going to say it's £250. Because it is that VIP type of thing. One company already of a local customer here has taken a whole table. We haven't even advertised it yet. But I just think it's a special thing, and it's to raise money for Beaglesham United. So obviously nothing disappears anywhere else. And I think some of it will go to charity that Shaffle chose, because he's linked to a charity as well. So that's the event, and that's Enzo for you. I mean... If you wanted to know more personally about him, this is one way of finding out. He understands grassroots football. You put the time, he'll give you something.
Biggles Wade, United then. So I remember a little while ago, well, quite a long time ago, when you first started tweeting about it, I was thinking, what on earth is... So Biggles Wade United, how on earth did you become involved in them? And they said you're chairman.
I'm the chairman of Beaglesham United. I was originally the director of football. Sounded, like a grandiose name. We were four volunteers and two teams, director of football. But it's sometimes in football is about where you want to go. And where we wanted to go, I was ambitious. I wanted that, women's sides and senior sides and men's sides and a youth system and all that. So. You call it director of football and it looks like you've been serious and professional about it. Obviously, it's a grassroots club with all volunteers. But that, it was a matter of being at the other side. Because it's fine, I mean, you're all fans and you will moan and you'll have a go at the manager and all that. Then the journalist will actually try to analyse the situation. But how about if you're a fan, you're a journalist, and actually you will take decisions. Plus, you get a coaching badge, which is what I did at the time. I'm UFAB, and I thought, you know, I want to be on the other side. And being on the other side means that you understand things better. You do. I can write my books in a better way. I can interpret what happens on the pitch in a better way. You know, we're going to have on ITV on Saturday, we've got Real Madrid Girona, and Paul Clement will be the guest with us. And I'm going to analyse Girona tactically, and Paul will do Real Madrid. And at halftime, we will both talk about it to be able to actually, you know, tell a story, but also see what's happening and understand that that comes from having been at the other side. So in 2014, I got an email from the chairman of Bicklesham United. It says, we hear you talk about football. You think you know? Prove it. It's like a challenge. and literally, I mean, as you can imagine, having been in Sky, and I was a Sky at the time, you got a lot of emails and a lot of people that message you. And I've got this rule that I've learned from Tony Evans, who at the time was the sports editor of the Times. Only answer the fifth email. You really, really want to talk to me? Continue, insist. Because if you do, it's that you really want to. It's not one email that you send to see what happens. But this was an exception. I mean, a chairman of a football club wants me involved. So we had a coffee at Starbucks in Hitchin. I said, this is what we're going to do. I mean, I didn't even ask which division we were in, how many people involved, what teams, nothing. And he's like, all right, okay, whatever. You go. So they handed over the club. And yeah, we were, as I said, two teams, reserve side and first team side, men's. And now we've got 12 teams and we've got about 250 people involved. And it's the best thing I do. Mm. It's just great. And after being director of football, we put somebody in charge that couldn't be there for long. Let's put it away. And then I became chairman. That was January 2019.
So you mentioned tactics there and you talk about coaching. One of the things we're really keen to talk to you about, obviously, Enzo. I think when he came into role, I think you wrote a tweet pretty early on that it was going to take a bit of time, it'd be very different, and it would take some getting used to. I think people are still getting used to it, which we'll definitely talk about. But I mean, if you look at the number of points, how well we're doing, did you think it would go as well as it's gone?
No, nobody did. Nobody did. But I think it's an interesting role when you are an analyst, say, but you're friends. But I am friends with a lot of people in football and I don't tweet about all of them. So it is a choice of mine to actually say, because it's my platform, to actually say, keep an eye on what's happening here because something is going to happen. Because I knew something special was going to happen. I was convinced about that. I'd spoken to Enzo and what he was trying to do, all of that. But I also knew that imposing this in the middle of England, literally in the middle of England, it was going to take a while and he wasn't going to win everybody over. And that has me, for me, has been one of the most interesting parts of conversations when I talk to him or to fans. Mm. Young fans get it. You all get it. Mm. You all get it. The average year, because we've got an audience as well, is in the 30s, no? You get it. But we've been, with Neil, we've been to games and you hear some noise of people that are not happy. Today, there's been a poll survey at the Athletic, and I was reading it with interest. And one of the questions is something like, you think this style is good for Leicester, something like that. And most people, of course, in the results, is like, yeah, of course it is. And by the way, some are enjoying themselves. So yeah, most people are very happy. And then go down to, no, this is not good. These are the noisy guys, people. Men, whatever. 0.01, I think it is. It's interesting because I could go that way as well, and so could Enzo. Just come on.
In case, obviously, people couldn't hear, that was a dickhead. I don't know we're allowed to swear.
No, but it's interesting because it is a cultural war. There are people that don't want to don't want to, there are people that feel that the football has been taken away from them. These are the people that make noise, so they have to be respected. But certainly one thing you have to do, not you, but the people like Enzo and his staff, and I think I'm trying to do that as well, is educate those that want to understand it, but don't fully get it, but want to see what's happening, because that's not usual. Not at Leicester, not in the Championship. All right, Burnley kind of did it, and others as well. But you have to educate. Educate means making an effort, a brainy effort, to actually read, watch the videos, understand the videos. I keep retweeting a video, videos that come out every now and again of explanations of why it doesn't always play along, but sometimes they do, or why it's built from the back, and why you slow building from the back, and whose fault is it, and all of that. So that's what you have to do to understand that brand of football. And then if you do, you will enjoy it, because like knowledge, when you go to a museum, you go to see art, if you don't get it, if you don't get Braque or Picasso or whatever, if somebody explains it to you, it opens up your world and your mind. So some do that effort. But others just go to football to watch football. And these are the guys that are like, just kick it long. Kick it long. What are you doing? Passing it. It's like, do all that. And they do it. But not when you won, mate. It's when it's required, because you actually cannot come out from the back. And what's interesting, of course, is that the team is also learning to do that. Has the team... are they doing perfectly? No. There's a style. But there are players, I'm sure, this is my guess, that are not happy doing it, because it takes them out of the comfort zone. There are players that are learning, and they're in the process of learning. And there are others that have it in them to do it. That's what he's obviously dealing with. And as he goes into the Premier League, there will be new signings, maybe 8, 9, 10 from this squad, if he can move players around, and then grow that way, or based on that idea. What's important for me, the biggest thing, is that the whole club think the same, because he's managed to get the whole team think the same, which is the hardest thing in football. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, because you see them every week, but it feels like they all think the same way. Some they don't want to think that way, some players don't want to, but they all think that way, and they all do what they have to do, and they're improving through it. And those of you that understand what has been done, you will enjoy the fact that you've seen layers being added to the team. But I hope that the club also thinks that way. Because if that happens, Enzo will be around for a long while. But if he doesn't, I don't know.
So I'm going to follow up on that, if you don't mind. When you talk the club, you're not talking fans, you're talking those within the club then?
They own the club.
Yeah.
They take decisions. We don't know if they think the same way as him. Mm. We will know in the summer.
Yeah.
When signings have been done, when I feel... if you come from Manchester City, like he does, where you've got everything that you need to be the biggest club in the world. Obviously, you go to Leicester... And what happens is that you see that there is a difference, yeah? That you don't get everything. Now, you can manage that, not a problem. It's been managed. But to get to city level, and by the way, that's what you should aim to, because that's the best of the best in every department, in every office. The CEO, the director of football, the coach, the assistant, they're the best. So that's what you should aim to. And because Enzo recognises that, because he's been an elite player and he has been in Manchester City, I think what the club should do is hear all that, listen to all that, and compare Leicester City into a modern, you know, complete elite club. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Maybe they're in the process. I've got no idea. But that's what they should aim to, because otherwise it would be a wasted opportunity having Enzo here.
Yeah, I think this is... Jack sort of covered the question I was going to ask. So I think we saw in January that Enzo was a bit frustrated with the lack of transfers in. I mean, we didn't get any, sadly, since he didn't get across the line on deadline day. He sort of made it out like he wasn't aware prior to the start of January that we had to sell to buy. We knew that would probably be the case, because we've been here before. I have a real worry that, I mean, Enzo's special, you can clearly see that. I think the club might have be inhibited with what it can offer, even if we go back up. And I do worry that he might be an Italian and that they have a penchant for his signing. You know, he won't wait around for his payoff like a certain little Northern Irishman did with us. But, you know, I think there's a real opportunity there. And if we miss this, I do worry we will be financially hamstrung. Obviously, you can't say if you've had any conversations with Enzo, but that is the worry. I mean, you mentioned director of football. I've got a real bee in my bonnet at the minute. How do you performance measure a director of finance? football, sorry. Because we seemingly buy players and then can never move them on, unless they're the real top, you know, your Madisons, your Barnes, your Fofanas over the years. We've not been able to get rid of other players, and then the answer is, well, we can't buy anyone. So, yeah, I suppose my question is, what in your sort of footballing knowledge, what does a director of football, what's their role in and how do they work with a manager? Like, is it quite a contrasting relationship?
It chooses the manager.
Yeah.
So that is I suppose manager level sometimes is also ownership as well, that they got to be aligned. Leicester City is right now in the Championship. That means that the club has failed. No, yeah. I mean, yeah. You have the fan base, you had the money, you had quality players that you see them now in other clubs, and they started right now shining. So something has been done wrong. But I go beyond the decisions of one particular person that you're all thinking of. I go to the, can you run a football club right now, an elite football club, with the structure that Leicester City have? Mm. That's do you want to be really at another level? You perhaps require a change, not of personnel, everybody can help, but maybe a structure that can support the fan base, the finances, the hopes, and can push on. I think you see the case of Burnley. It's a different case, but okay, Burnley comes up with this style and they're failing in the Premier League, or they cannot reach the levels of that they would like. The main problem was the market. Were they not prepared to get the better players for it? Was Compagni thinking that because we did so well in the Championship, it worked well in the Premier League? Whatever the answer is a lesson to learn. And now Leicester City have got the opportunity, I feel, with Enzo, of actually make a really strong structure. The club can bring the people, but listen to him if he has anything to say in regards of that. But then there is the other part. You could put the structure, but if you don't have the money, and that is something that I don't know. You will know better than me. I mean, maybe there is a limit on what the club can spend.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, will it be resolved? We don't know, because we don't look at the finances. And if it doesn't get resolved, is this team good enough for the Premier League? That's subjective. And of course, there must be stats there that prove, I think, 10 players, yes. And the rest maybe not. In which case, do you want it to be a struggle? Or so there's things up in the air that hasn't been yet resolved, to see what Leicester City will look like next season, including going up, because we haven't gone up yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jordan will, he's unflinching in his belief.
We're promoted in August.
To be up bar when you do your Chutney Harvey gig. But.
I was going to ask you, when you talk about the players there, obviously I think you've told me you're at Leicester and now your second team, so you've watched us a fair bit this season, but I think being a Leicester fan and kind of hearing the narrative outside of the club, there's a lot of people that think all our players are Premier League players.
Really?
Which I find interesting, because we've had a lot of turnover of players, we've still got a lot of players that either don't want to be here or we don't want them to be here, and I think you talked about 9, 10. I'm probably
that's
looking
my,
at a few, maybe a few less than
less
that,
than that
but
wow.
I'd be interested of the players that you've seen, who are the ones that kind of really stand out for you?
I'm not sure I want to do this. So let's put it a different way. Half of the squad has changed, yeah?
Yeah.
About half of the squad. Not only some players had to go, Enzo wanted players that fitted what he wanted to do. Now, the ones that were there last season were playing a completely different style. So you're asking them to actually come out of the comfort zone and start playing a different way. And so I would say, let's see if they can actually get to that and then maybe useful. And then instead of 10, maybe 12 or 14 or whatever. But right now you look at it and you think, if you took this team into the Premier League, it would be a struggle. It would be a struggle. But there's work being put in training to actually improve them. So, but key here, really, and I think the club have taken notes of what's happened with Burnley. There is a need to get new players, a lot of new players. That's going to be a massive statement of intent from everyone if the club can sign players, which we don't know.
Yeah, you alluded to it already in terms of the tactics and maybe the murmurings from the crowd. Obviously, you do have that personal relationship with Enzo. I mean, we've discussed this at length on the podcast.
And what have you said?
That we don't really, we do understand why, but we think it's madness that people aren't seeing the process.
So why aren't you all more vocal?
We're very vocal.
No, but like, I mean, I've been to games.
What, and yeah, as a fan base?
Yeah,
not being,
I've been to games.
It's quiet.
And it's quiet, number one. It's quiet-ish. I mean, compared to Spain, it's really, really noisy. But what's clearly happening, I feel, is that there is more space, and I include myself on this, dedicated to those that 0.01% or whatever, they moan, than actually talking about how much the fan base of Leicester City appreciate what Enzo has done. And look, they're chanting his name. I mean, I'll give you an example. The last game of Newcastle, before they went down, Rafa Benitez was in charge. And they lost... they beat Spurs 5-1, I think it was. Last game.
Yeah, they won the league, yeah.
So that... Newcastle were down, were definitely down. But because Rafa had said... similar things that Enzo said, you know, if you don't like what I do, you know, what he said about when he plays Swansea, you know?
With me or against me, I think.
That kind of thing. Yeah. And Rafa kind of played with that as well. For 45 minutes, in that game in which Newcastle was going down into the Championship, for 45 minutes, the fans chanted Rafa Benitez's name. For 45 minutes. And I got to count in the games that I've been, put all the minutes together that you chanted Enzo's name, and it comes out to 3-4 minutes, if that. So if you really think that what's happening is special, and agree with me that it is, show it.
It was quite, the Stoke game was quite interesting, because there were banners. Mm. I wasn't there, you were there, weren't
you? Yeah, it was loud throughout. I feel like Guillaume's desperate to be in the away end at some point. Yeah.
So is that, away fans do that, yeah?
There's a big contrast, yeah.
Okay,
between our away support and our home support.
Why?
We don't know. Genuinely,
well,
it's been...
away, because people that go away are proper Leicester fans, whereas the people at home are institutionally stupid. And they've always been...
You're all proper fans, come on.
You go away and everybody's of the same mind.
Yeah.
Because they are Leicester going through. Some people, especially since we won the Premier League, there's a lot of people turned up who haven't been on an old game. 67 the first game I went out to. A lot of people have turned up now, don't know the real history of the club, how we would struggle in.
Yeah, because you've got the Johnny Cup label, so you think we should win the league.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I've said a long time, and obviously, you know, since you've kind of... I swear you referred to us as we about 10 minutes ago.
Did I?
I think so.
Noted.
Even if you didn't say you
But I've said for a while, I think Leicester are the most unique football club in the world because we have done the impossible.
Apart from we also United, which is also unique in the world.
Yeah. Okay. But not only did we win the league, we won the cup. We, you know, there was a tweet the other day that in the last 24 years, only 5 clubs have won every trophy. And we're one of them. And I agree with those points. And there are many dynamics with the Tigers, which I think gets brushed under the carpet. There are a lot of two-club cities. We're a two-sport city.
Yeah.
And then there are a lot of dynamics playing. It's interesting you say about the atmosphere. We know the atmosphere can be good. But it should be good in the Champions League. But the place was absolutely bouncing. And I've been really vocal. I think anything other than winning the league is a failure this season because we shouldn't be in the division. But that is not to say that I am not enjoying what's going on, and I don't I appreciate what is happening because I know how hard it is. Look at Leeds. Well, I know they're second, or and Southampton, but they when they came down the first 2 months they were a mess, and we weren't. And that is down to Enzo because he's completely changed the whole dynamic. And
something else he's done, which is worthwhile mentioning, I think it gets explained at the beginning of the athletic survey, the mind frame of the club. Mm. It's changed the way people think in the club. It's been at it for how long? Since August or July or June, yeah. July? And there is, because he's an elite athlete and has been in elite clubs, he knows what it looks like. It's changed the mind frame of the club. And I hope that will continue. The big test will be in the Premier League, of course. But he's put the demands really high. And another thing that he's done, which is amazing, is that you forgot that you've been relegated within a week, two weeks.
I mean, I'm
an Espanyol fan as well, back in Spain, and we're in the second division, and we haven't got this positive. Yeah. Even though we're fourth and we're kind of fighting, you know, playoffs at the moment, but there's not such a positivity about any of the clubs that are fighting to get up that have been just been down, as you have. So, and that comes down from what he's done.
I was just what you were touching on there, and I think you mentioned it earlier. The team seems really together, and I'm just fascinated to kind of any insight you've got on. Like, what's his management style with players? Because he seems to be, he's tough on them, like really tough. But at the same time, when they've won a game at the end, he's pushing them towards the fans, making them go round. And he seems to sort of, he seems to get both sides really well, which I think is them, like when we score, all the players celebrate together, which hasn't always happened. And there seems to be a real togetherness that he's created.
So the first thing to say, he's a good person. And he identifies what people need. So people is a people's person. He wants to hear from players. He wants to know what they need and all that. Secondly, he's got a very clear idea of what kind of brand of football he wants to play. That comes from a inspiring moment, a eureka moment to him when he was playing with Sevilla against Barcelona, Pep Guardiola. And they could not get the ball off them. And it's like, they have like now it's been done by everyone, but these things were new. Iniesta gets the ball, and instead of just passing it quickly, he just waits for you to get there, because by you getting there, you and space is created in behind you, and that's where the ball goes eventually, with 1-2s or movements or driving or whatever with the ball. So it's like at the end of the game, you were like, what is going on? How do you do that? And then boom, he started thinking as a coach. So he wants that, and that requires a certain amount of correction, because not all the players think that way. A series of exercises that which he may have done, but now he needs to evolve it, because he's never had this long in a club before. So he's learning in the process, but he bases everything on these two things. I've got a clear idea what I want, and these players are footballers. Perhaps the most interesting thing that I heard from him in recent times is that every manager that's got a club like Leicester City and you bring them up and perhaps goes well in the Premier League, like, and then Newcastle, and then Manchester City, and then I win the World Cup for players, for clubs. But not him. He's like, give me a club that I can work with, that I enjoy myself, that I can improve it, that we can play this way, that I can convince everybody is the way to do it, and I'll be happy. So he is at the right club. Now the club, I feel, has to respond to his demands, and everybody together, including the 0.01%, to actually take Leicester to the best that you can be. Mm. So
it is interesting you say that, because going back to Brendan Rodgers, he was very much Brendan.
And when he said he'd be here for years, and he was longer than we wanted him to be, I do believe Enzo when he says that he does envisage being here and building something rather than get us up and move on to, you know, Man City, Liverpool, etc. I think the thing that I've really appreciated from Enzo so far that has not really been talked about enough, he takes his time to give players a chance. So he'll be patient. That, you know, at the start of the season, we had Vardy and Iheanacho were sort of the two strikers, and it very much looked like Daka was on his way out and wasn't going to be given a chance, and it happened with a few other players. But when they then get the chance, he's not got preconceived ideas that they're not going to get, you know, more and more game time. Daka's now our number one striker. And I really like that, because it must be difficult as a player. You're on the periphery, you just want a chance, and then you want to be able to be given a chance. None of our players can accuse Enzo of not giving him a chance and then giving him a run of games. And I think that's probably an art in his man management.
It helps to win games.
Well,
you're winning, and then you try things, and then you know you experiment a little bit more. You give people more of a chance because you've been winning. So in a way, it's the perfect platform for him as he's learning the job. Obviously, he's got a very clear idea of what he wants, but a lot of it is new to him, and for the players, because they will have a longer period, even if they get it wrong, as long as they do what he wants them to do. Because if the goalkeeper decides to play long when actually should be short, then you have to get him out because he doesn't believe in your idea, really.
Yeah.
Centre back's the same, and what I'm seeing is players taking better and better decisions. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was in a press conference earlier in his time there at Leicester, where he said, "I think our players are, or we've gone 20-30% of what we can do, right?" So I asked him yesterday, I said, "What percentage?" Because I knew I was talking to you. So it's like, what percentage? I've got not a clue, mate. I don't know. I just said that so people realise that there is a time.
Give me a bit of time.
Yeah, it was because they kept falling up. It was like, are we 60% of the way there?
Yeah, now? I bet people were playing that game. It's is it now 17.5%? No, he just said something to. So you all gave him time. And right now, I think he knows, as you would, which players can do it, which players don't want to do it, which players will be useful for the Premier League. I mean, I don't know what the planning is in terms of next season, because obviously you have to plan for the Championship and you, in case you collapse, which you won't, but in case you do, and the Premier League. I imagine that's what happens. In our club, and we are not professionals, but in our club, where are we, February, this is where next season starts. We have to know who is going to be coaching, what players we're going to have, not so much players we're going to have, but what is the intention, what is the plan, what is the budget, where do we get the money from, what's happening with the kid, all that. On a professional level, I reckon about now, they start working on that. Mm. And then, you know, again, goes back to what we were saying earlier. If there is money, if there is a possibility of moving players on and whatever, then that's the job that starts now.
Is he happy? Do you think he's enjoying the job? No, genuinely, because we spoke about a couple of slightly negative things. And we often, you know, have to remind ourselves, we're 10 points clear. But do you think... And again, this is his first proper job. I know, obviously, he was at Parma and didn't go particularly well, but this is the first time he had a real opportunity to establish himself.
Man City assistant's gone.
No. Parma.
Yeah.
He was sacked after 14 games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The last five of which were two wins, two draws, and a defeat.
Yeah.
So it's not that it didn't go well.
Yeah.
It's just that, as we keep talking, there wasn't the synergy with the board. So the people that took decisions there is like, no, this is not our manager. Because in Serie B, you don't play the way he wants to play.
Yeah.
So I think words are important. So okay. It's not that it didn't go well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just that obviously there wasn't that kind of thing.
But it's a very good question. Right now, do you think he's happy?
So it's a very, very good question that has to be asked constantly to people that are in football. Because I know the people that struggle and suffer. I spoke to a couple of hours ago to Marty Cifuentes, the... Crystal Rangers manager, and we were talking about that, and he's the kind of guy that is like, I want to enjoy it, but after every win or defeat, but mostly after a win, 15 minutes later, I'm already thinking of something else. They don't enjoy it. But I heard something from Enzo recently, which was like, have you seen the team? I love watching the team play. Which means job has been done, means he's enjoying what's happening, and means that he's got the right mind frame to keep working from a positive, you know, outlet. It's not just like, oh God, you know, and also winning helps. Mm. But it's not like he's suffering, he's enjoying, I think. It's a good question, I think he's happy, yeah. Yeah. Everybody's happy, the family's happy, the kids are happy, they've gone to a school, once they found the house and the village they're in and everything else, they're all in a really good place. Nobody's mentioning the rain.
I think I'm now going to take the 0.01% as a quote we use going forward. How would you describe the football to someone that doesn't get it? Because if I watch the team, I get a bit frustrated when people say, oh, it's all short passing. So I see it as actually really pragmatic. And the way I would describe it, so you can tell me whether we're wrong, is it's all about the space and finding the space. So we'll go long if we need to find the space. We'll go short, but it's about drawing people out of position and trying to do that. Is that a fair summary, or is there a better way of describing it?
No need to explain it anymore. It is like that.
I'll explain that to my dad. Probably.
It's creating space. Creating the space. That's all it is. So in every part of the pitch, you have a different pace to do that. Mm. At the back, what you want is actually to absorb the pressure. Because what happens if those 10 players that are in front of you, 11 players, move towards you and towards your goal? The space somewhere else, isn't it? Mm. Well, if you actually can build by beating them, then it will be a time where you can start running at a different pace. If you actually cannot beat them, because they're very good at pressure, like I think it was Ipswich was very good at pressure, then play long. Mm. But not play long to see what happens, second balls. Play to the wingers, who are waiting for that. The wingers are there, waiting for that long ball in case it happens. But not just play long for playing it long. And, you know, football, people would like it to be a simple game in which, you know, it's like, just put the ball in the box, isn't it? Put the ball in the box. But yeah, but how? Mm. And then if you, in a game, in a style like this, which this is in favour of the 0.01%. And this is a discussion I've had with Pep Guardiola, with Enzo and with others. This is a style that enters your brain and doesn't always enters your heart. Because your brain needs to understand it, process it, then you see what it's doing. And I think if you're watching the videos that we're retweeting, you will enjoy to actually see that what has happened in certain games is actually being provoked. Yeah. Isn't that great? And when you see, it's like, yeah, come in. Oh, it's low. Somebody will complain it's low. Yeah, it's low. Take it off me. And then you go. Yeah. And it's great to see if you understand what's happening. But that's the brain acting. The heart is saying, oh my God, we're going to lose the ball. Yeah. Oh my God, play long, play it away from us. Because the heart is not very brave. The brain can be brave. You have to think to be brave. Mm. But the intuition says, don't lose the ball because the fear starts invading you. And because that happens, some people will just stay because they watch football with their heart. And others watch football like you do because you've been educated with your brain.
So. We touched on it a few times. You mentioned educate, you mentioned Guardiola. And the thing that I don't get is these people who complain about the way we play it. Do they not watch Manchester City, Real Madrid, all the best teams in the world? This is the only way to play now.
No.
Well, it isn't. The Spanish started it. And like you mentioned, when Iniesta stands on the ball, I think Rodri does it. They call it La Pausa.
Pausa, yeah.
Yeah. Pause. So in England, we've never really played this way.
Yeah, but...
And I feel like that's why...
The problem of this style, and that's happened with Barcelona, is that you think it's the only style and every other style is not right. And that's not true. You say Spanish style, Osasuna play differently, Cádiz play differently,
Atletico Madrid play differently.
Real Madrid, I don't even know what they're playing at. So much so that even when Pep Guardiola meets Real Madrid, he's like, I don't prepare the games because I don't even know what they do. Because it's based on individual quality. Mm-hmm. So it's a way of playing, and it's the way that Enzo has decided to play. And to enjoy it fully, you have to understand it, you have to study it, you have to read about it, you have to, you know, and some people don't want to do that. They just want a game that gives them a lot of emotion, that makes that force mistakes, and it's like the ball is always in the box, and then you go and it's jumping, and then you go home, it's like, wow, wasn't that great? And you perhaps, because you don't control anything, you lose more than you win. And when you lose, it's like a manager has to go. But when you win, it's exciting, because it's like, you know, a lot of things happen. And in a control game like the Pep or the Enzo one, less things happen, only things that they provoke. Mm-hmm. I find that amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that, that you can make 11 people think the same. Amazing. But others just want to play roulette. Yeah. And enjoy that.
I reckon we've only got about 5 minutes left. All right, with okay. you. I'd like to play a game of who are you? And where did you come from? Where did you go?
All right.
I might as well go now.
Well, when you're sat next to me. We'll do that in a couple of moments' time. You don't need to know the rules.
Okay. Just answer questions.
We don't know them either.
No, so it's exactly. Okay. We'll just see what happens. But as I say, proper one more question, lads, before. Jack, if you want
I've
to take
got, I've got yeah, one. Because go on. We talked about it a little bit before. And I think you talked to it there. Like the people that do find it boring.
We're talking a lot about them, by the way.
Anyway, probably too much. Do you sympathise with any of kind of their thoughts around
it? I said it. Yeah. What I'm explaining is, they understand football through the heart, and that's fine. It's fine. Mm. Football is not a science. It's not black or white. They enjoy it that way. I have to say, Neil, who is a perfect example of Leicester City fan, I knew I had to work on him because having been all these years following Leicester City, and he's almost 60, sorry. So he was like, oh, all right, I get it. And then there was a draw in some friendly. I said, it's like, no, and you have to work at it. And now he's in Facebook, Leicester City fan chats, and anybody that suggested this is not the right way to play, this is boring, he goes and jumps at them.
So basically, you need to go live with every single, that 0.1%.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. I'll do that. No problem.
You leave the shirts here.
Yeah, it's my mission in Leicester to do that. Yeah.
Right then, should we have a game of who are you to wrap things up?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah, but basically I'm going to give some clues and you've got to tell me who the footballer is.
Okay.
First person obviously to shout it out. And then afterwards we do a thing called where did he come from, where did he go? You've got to tell me where we signed the player from. And then where he left.
Wow.
That's how it works,
it's the true test of
true Leicester. Remember, I'm a new fan of Leicester City. Yeah.
Well, obviously, yeah, because of that reason, I haven't done a Spanish theme here.
Bardi. Okay.
So, always the
we
first...
We haven't had that many Spanish players.
Wow. You had a director of football who was a friend of mine.
Right.
Eduardo.
Yeah, Mafia. Yeah.
Okay, so your first clue. I was born on the 14th of April, 1989.
That was my guess.
Already?
I would rather you didn't.
Okay. Well, I didn't know how long we were going for.
And I was born in Madrid.
Leicester City, Madrid player. Leicester City, go on, another
you
know
one. Is, don't you?
One of two.
I signed. Actually, yeah, I don't know what, I'm going to exclude you boys from...
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought we were excluding, to be honest.
But you can do where did you come from, where did you go, for who are
so
you?
So it's not a Yotha, clearly.
I signed for Leicester City in the year 2016.
2016.
And I played just four times for Leicester.
Just four times?
Oh, I know.
Well, four league appearances.
Yeah, I know it.
So somebody that came to Leicester and
failed. No,
please.
We've only had about four.
The Champions League for us as well. Come on.
Quite controversial.
So it must have been Mathias signing then. Must have been.
No, just before him.
Just before him.
Steve Walsh.
Steve Walsh. Our
head of recruitment.
Who was the manager then at the time?
Ranieri still.
Claudio.
Defender.
A defender.
Long throw. Did he get an assist? He was
He assisted all Brighton's
so
goal in the Champions
first
League.
Ever goal in the Champions League was scored by Mark Albrighton, but it was a. Oh, and Nick knew he said the guy's name then. It was his assist from a long throw in. No, look, you'll be forgiven because obviously he didn't play a lot.
No, but at that time.
He went pretty quickly.
There weren't many Spanish players, knew every one of them. Mm. So I probably have his number when you tell me.
Let's spell him up. We'll get the first live. Yeah. Who are you?
Yeah. Well, he currently plays for Cadiz. Cadiz.
Yeah, you butchered that.
Yeah. Obviously. Very conscious I was saying it to Guillaume.
Cadiz?
Yeah. That's why I said it.
You said position?
Yeah, you said defender.
Centre-back.
Centre-back. Or right-back. Probably right-back a little bit for us.
Didn't he get in the team of the year for La Liga as well?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Signed him on free transfer.
Anyone know in the crowd?
Yeah.
Go on.
Luis Hernandez.
Ah, of course. Of course. He came from Sporting Gijón, I think he came. Yes. Yeah.
So you've nearly done it. Wow.
Where did he come from? Where did he go?
We sold him for some money. We got
2.5 mil.
2 mil.
So where did he come from? Where did he go? But I'd been forgotten, I Joe. I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? Go, signed from Sporting.
I'll tell you one thing about him.
Yeah.
He was considered international stature player, and it didn't work very well here. But no, he was a proper centre back. He's not the tallest, but he could play a little bit, and he had the throw in and all that. But after that, it's like you killed him.
He played the first game of the season against Hull, I think, when we lost 2-1.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't get off to the best of
and
starts.
I don't have his number, so there wasn't worthwhile having the number for him.
So then tell us where he went. Do you remember? Because I said he didn't hang around for very long.
But moved
back to Spain.
Almeria.
Do you boys know, by the way?
Is it Malaga?
Luis Hernandez? No. I can't remember.
Villarreal.
It was Malaga.
Oh. Malaga. Good one.
Yeah.
That was a good.
That's the best game we've actually played.
We needed the professional.
Yeah.
The game was ahead of the game.
Yeah.
You got Sporting Gijón.
Straight off.
Gijón, yeah, that's right.
Right then, so again, before we finish up, one kind of more plug for your event at the Chutney Ive in terms of if people want tickets, where to go, and when's the event. Just a quick reminder for that, please.
It's worthwhile your £250, and I know people are going to jump at me for saying that, but because the idea is that Enzo is going to be in every table, and so will I at different times, and we'll chat to people, and there will be an auction, and it will be a whole meal, the meal is included, of course, at the Chutney Ivy, which for me, I insist, the best Indian restaurant I've ever been. That's the 4th of April, and it's in my timeline. That's the best way to look at it. You can get tickets. If you are local, come to Croft, come to the Heat Cuts, talk to Neil or me, and then we'll save you the £28 of the booking fee, and we'll sort you out differently. So I hope people think it's a worthwhile thing to do, because some of it goes to charity and some of it will go to Beaglesbury United. I need to get the budget for next season. And Enzo has been, you know, great to help us with that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And must mention that as well. We've been here at the Heathcote Arms in Croft. So thank you very much for the hospitality for that one. And Guillaume, absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
And hopefully next year when we're back in the Premier League and Enzo's flying, and we can come back and do this again. And
here. It has to be here.
Yeah. It has to be here. Yeah. And can you please tell Enzo on behalf of all of us, we love him.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get that clip out and send it to the team. Cheers, thank you very much.
Cheers,
thank you.
All right, thank you. Cheers.
Podcast Network.